There is an extremely significant passage of Scripture relevant to our lecture tonight, which we should very carefully consider. 2 Timothy 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, men who cannot keep their word, false accusers, men who cannot control themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, men who are traitors, heady, proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." It goes on to describe these various practices, which bring us to verse 13. "Evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to perform every good work. I therefore charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and teaching. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound teaching, but they shall gather to themselves teachers who will tickle their ears, and they shall turn away their hearing from the truth and shall be turned to mythology. But you watch in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." This is a sober note of warning. It sets for us the stage of the world in which we find ourselves now, a world which is hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the last days, and John tells us in 1 John, we have been in the last days. Now, for almost 2,000 years, the perilous times will come. And men will turn away, that's the key, they will turn away their hearing from the truth, and the truth will be turned into mythology. Tonight, we're studying what has been loosely termed the New Age movement. And it's important for us to understand exactly what the New Age movement is. The New Age movement is nothing more than the revival of ancient occultism under a new title and with the same goals. The difference is that it's getting organized, and that it is becoming bold, and that it is now penetrating all areas of our culture, political, educational, and religious. And it must be recognized for what it is. I do not believe in religious paranoia, and there are people that are very quick to run into this. They love conspiracy theories. They're out to get you. And Christians start looking over their shoulders like this. Who's out to get me? The New Age movement. Well, let me tell you something. The New Age movement isn't out to get you. The New Age movement has been, from its very beginning, out to get Christianity and out to destroy the revelation of God as it is given to us in the Old and the New Testament. In other words, occultism, which is the practice of hidden, secret, mysterious, esoteric things, the mythology of the ancient world, which is infused with satanic power. This particular type of thinking is here. It is real. It is powerful. It is effective. And it is reaching out to people. And many people are misled by it. without even knowing what it is. So what I'd like to do is to give you just a little history of how we got to where we are now. The world of the occult covers everything, virtually, from astrology through tarot cards, seances, all the way through witchcraft and Satanism. The world of the occult involves the Ouija boards, fortune-telling, the attempts to penetrate into a dimension of spiritual reality which God forbids us to enter. Because in that dimension is the realm of the Prince of Darkness, the God of this age, the ruler of this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned us against him. Paul says he is the God of this world. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the ruler of the powers of the air. And you may not ever discount him. Christianity does not need to fear him. Christians need not run from him. Nor do we need to get paranoid over Satan and his existence and power. Because the scripture says, you have already overcome them, little children. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, behold, I give you power over the demons. That's a marvelous statement. I give you power over the demons. They are in subjection to you in my name. That's where our power is, in the authority of the risen Jesus Christ. That's why Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 that Christ, who is the Lord of all, the preeminent one over all creation, the creator of all things, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, all things created by him and for him, and he exists before all things, and in him everything, all things hold together. Christ, the sovereign Lord of creation. Paul says he openly humiliated the Prince of Darkness. Openly humiliated the powers of darkness. How did he do that? By rising from the dead and by establishing himself as the last Adam, the Lord from heaven. He made an open show, says Paul, over the powers of darkness. They thought that they had conquered life. And Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life, rose from the dead to conquer them, because it is impossible that death should hold him. That is not true of us. Death holds all mankind. Dust we are, to dust we will return. But it cannot hold him, because he rises as the immortal Savior of lost men. That is the hope of the church, indeed the hope of the ages. The living Jesus Christ. Now, the world of the occult is opposed to him. And the world of the occult took form within the 19th century of the Christian era in a way that it had never taken form before. Many of the things I'm now saying I wrote about and lectured about over the last 35 years. But I have lived to see the occult crystallize. I have lived to see them form networks. I have lived to see them communicate with each other when before they wouldn't even talk to each other or acknowledge their existence. But there has been literally an occultic explosion, which in 1975 took the name the New Age Movement. What is the New Age? It is a millennium without God. A millennium without God. It is the enthronement of man as the sovereign of the universe and the demotion of God. It is an occultic attempt, a satanic attempt, to manipulate, to form, and then eventually to crystallize into what 2 Thessalonians calls the coming of the man of sin, whose authority is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. If it were possible, says Paul, he would deceive even the church. But it is not possible, because the Spirit of God in us warns us of these things. In the 19th century, a woman arose named Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. She was a full-blown Russian occultist. and rejected the foundations of Christianity outright. She chose instead the religion of Mother India and developed the cult which was known as Theosophy, the love of divine wisdom. An innocuous little group of people, but the seeds of what we see today. New Age thinking began to develop with Helena Blavatsky, followed by Mary Baker Eddy, followed by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and followed by a host of others who crystallized the thinking, brought it together, and began to give it a form. It was canonized in the writings of Alice Bailey, the daughter of an Episcopal minister, who came to the conclusion that Christianity was bankrupt, redefined all the terms in the light of theosophy and Hinduism, which she accepted, and then proceeded to write a series of books in which she set forth what was known as the plan. And the plan was the development of occultism and the New Age. And that has already reached some epidemic proportions throughout the world, particularly in the United States. And what's in the United States, unfortunately, of an evil nature, we have exported to you. The New Age movement has arrived here also. In fact, it arrived in Vernon not long ago under the guise of a spring festival of awareness. Time of growth, time of stress, forging a positive future together. And the New Age movement arrived here, supported by a lot of people who had no idea what it was. It can deceive anybody. It is very, very subtle. It talks about a new world. It talks about a new religious emphasis. It talks about one planet, one people. Please. It talks about peace, prosperity, success, hope for the world. Who wouldn't in their right mind be attracted to something like that? It talks of disarmament. It talks about the abolishment of nuclear weapons. It talks about Earth and its preservation. And it talks about spaceship Earth floating throughout the universe. But in the mind of the divine, it is a center of activity for cosmic power. This is part of the vocabulary structure of the New Age movement. Let me show you how you can identify New Age thinking almost immediately. I happened to get this particular brochure from a gentleman who was here the other night, who wrote a letter to the editor, which I'll mention a little bit later on, of your Vernon Daily News, attacking me and these meetings and everything that we were doing. So he ran the flag up the pole so we all know where he stands. It's a good idea to learn what the New Age movement is. These are the topics that you had in Vernon, sponsored by various individuals, and you even had one of your churches taken in by it. The United Church actually billeted the people who were going to the New Age occultic conference, which denies everything that the United Church, the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, and every minister who stood here tonight believes. That's how subtle it is. You can be taken in by it. Listen to some of the New Age vocabulary. Numerology. This experiential workshop is to help you find the significance of your name. If you don't know that by now, you're in trouble. Discover if there is a number of particular meaning to you. Yes, there is. One. Number one. That's the most important thing to you in New Age thinking. You are the most important thing. Again, prosperity consciousness. This is the ability to function effortlessly and conveniently in the material world with a prosperity consciousness. You can create abundance in your life despite prevailing economic beliefs. Another workshop of the New Age movement. From Pisces to Aquarius. From faith to knowing. In this workshop, you will discover how astrology as a spiritual science relates to the divine plan of human evolution, and lets us understand the challenges of our time. as stepping stones to greater responsibility. Again, responsibility in the new age toward a global spirituality. The present age demands new attitudes, new ways of relating, not only to assure survival, but also to guarantee a quality of life that gives meaning and joy to all this. Again, polarity. How you can develop and make contact with the Christ consciousness. Discovering your soul's purpose. How you can find out about your past lives. Wings of freedom. Healing the earth. Evolution. Again, psychodynamics for the new age. A workshop to transform your life by magical thinking to cut away all myths and untruths. The Angel's Workshop. I thought you'd like this one. The Angel's Workshop. Is the angel inside you feeling trapped? Locked within an irresponsive little self? Break out with the Angel's Workshop. Release the best in you today. You didn't know you had an angel living inside you, did you? You don't. We are one. Etheric energy and the male-female energy within self. Clairvoyance at spiritism. Universal truth in application to self. You're invited to come and share. Oneness. Interfaith workshop. Comparative religion, the study of Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, Zen, Taoism, and the essence of the oneness of the world religions. Here's your new age. The essence of the oneness of the world's religions. Everybody is part of the great universal world religion. It's big enough to take in everybody. Buddha, Mohammed, Zoroaster, Confucius, Jesus, Krishna, Brahman, whoever. It is an amalgamation of all the faiths of the world together, in which all the leaders are on the same level. There is no eternal Savior. There is no incarnate Redeemer. There is no atonement for your sin. There is no resurrection for your justification. There is no law of God that you can offend and pay for all eternity in hell. Instead, there is a universalism which saves in the end everybody by the practice of reincarnation. This is the New Age movement. This is an all-pervasive, all-encircling faith, which is grounded in theosophy, which in turn is grounded in Hinduism. Now, the theosophists gave birth to the mind science cults. Mrs. Eddy affirmed in 1875, quote, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, but all is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all and in all." The basic plank of Hinduism was enunciated in the United States in 1875 with the publication of Mrs. Eddy's book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scripture. Mrs. Eddy denied the existence of the material world, from the smallest bacterial virus to the most gigantic star in the celestial galaxies. Exactly what Hinduism teaches with its doctrine of Maya, the illusion of the material world. From Christian Science came the Unity School of Christianity and a host of others. I sat down this afternoon and I thought it might be a good idea just to list in my own research, without being in my library at home, some of these things that I could immediately pinpoint as New Age and that would identify it immediately. These are the New Age leaders, and these are the New Age groups, and these are the New Age terms, so that you will be able to identify them. So I'm going to give it to you in very simple form. Let me introduce you to the New Age leaders from the United States, which we gloriously exported to you. Moses Hull, the founder of modern Spiritism. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the founder of Theosophy. Annie Besant, who succeeded her. George Gurdjieff, a Russian occultist whose work actually is one of the basic foundations of New Age occultism, Nicholas Roerich, Rudolf Steiner, founder of Anthroposophy, Max Heindel, the founder of the modern Rosicrucian movement, headquartered in San Jose, California, Mary Baker Eddy, founder of Christian Science, Warren Felt Evans, founder of New Thought, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, founders of the Unity School of Christianity, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, founder of the Church Universal and Triumphant, the Great I Am Movement in a New Form, and the Summit Workshop and Lighthouses. Ernest Holmes, founder of Science of Mind and Religious Science. Terry Cole Whitaker, the great popularizer in the United States of religious science. Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, who gave all kinds of healings and all kinds of information and theology when in a hypnotic trance under the control of demonic forces. George Baker, alias Father Divine, a Negro leader in the United States who laid the foundations of Jonestown by teaching Jim Jones that he, Jim Jones, was God, just the way George Baker was God. And where did George Baker get that from? George Baker got it from Unity School of Christianity, and they got it from Christian Science, and Christian Science got it from Theosophy, and Theosophy got it from Hinduism. So from India to the United States, Jonestown was born. And Jones believed that he was actually deity. So when he commanded those people to take poison, they were fools enough, and their minds had been altered enough, so they believed him. And they murdered themselves and their own children. George Baker, Father Divine, King of Cultists in the United States. Then L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology and the author of Dianetics. Werner Erhard, the founder of EST, Erhard Training Seminars, alias Jack Rosenberg, used car salesman turned guru. Roy Masters, headquarters Grant Pass, Oregon, hypnotist turned guru. The Silver Mind Control Program, Mr. Silver. Marilyn Ferguson, author of The Aquarian Conspiracy. Alice Bailey, author of a host of books, and of course, The Master Plan. R. Buckminster Fuller, a very brilliant writer, scientist in the United States, who is now dead, who popularized this and did a great deal to advance it. David Spangler, whose books are considered virtually Bibles by the New Age movement. This is just a handful of people whose writings and influence have spanned the entire spectrum of American cults. And you're sitting here in Vernon and saying, but, I mean, that's the United States. No, dear friend, that's Vernon. British Columbia, 1985, March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. You guys hosted the thinking of these guys, and without even knowing what they were up to. Again, spiritual atonement. Attunement with the creative processes of life brings an awareness of your identity. From dominance to synthesis, New Age politics and economics, it is vitally important that we create new infrastructures that are autonomously decentralized and harmoniously integrated, and reflect the Creator's universal plan of unity through diversity. After a 30-minute introduction, there will be a moderated open forum, so you could go there and discuss New Age politics, New Age economics. The Cosmic Ray Revelation. I thought you would enjoy this. Vernon had a Cosmic Ray Revelation. The Mind-Freeing Power. Recently channeled cosmic ray revelation. The order of the universe, a uniform order throughout the universe, the divine order. You notice the vocabulary which is being used here? It touches every bit of these areas. Now, what actually is the New Age movement up to? It is an esoteric, occultic philosophy. The best way to sum it up is in their own words. Listen to the founders of the New Age movement in the United States and now in your own country. Quote, esoteric philosophy reconciles all nations, strips every one of its outward human garments, and shows the root of each to be identical with that of every other great religion. See the point? United syncretistic religion. Everything comes together under one. Again, it proves the necessity of a divine absolute principle in nature. The divine absolute principle is not a person, is not God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The absolute principle in nature is an impersonal force, the solar logos, which inhabits all creation. It denies deity no more than it does the sun. Esoteric philosophy has never rejected God in nature, nor deity as the absolute and abstract ends. It only refuses, here it comes, esoteric philosophy, occultism, the New Age philosophy, it only refuses to accept any of the gods of the so-called monotheistic religions. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Gods created by man in his own image and likeness. A blasphemous and sorry caricature of the ever unknowable. Close quote. You want what the core of the New Age is? There it is. We refuse to acknowledge the God of the Bible. We refuse to acknowledge monotheism. We will integrate all religions and all practices and all mythology and all superstition and all of the evils of the world, including the Kabbalah. But we will refuse to bow our knee and worship the God of creation. That is the core. And they refer to their God as, quote, the ever unknowable. Close quote. Permit me to introduce you to the ever unknowable. Ready? Jesus said, the ruler of this age is coming, and he finds nothing in me. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the ever unknowable, stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. You want to know who the God of the New Age movement is? Let me introduce you to him. Lucifer, light bearer, adversary, prince of darkness, who moves through religion and politics and economies with but one purpose in mind: integrate, unify, and then destroy. And the destruction is aimed at the Church of Jesus Christ. The founders of the New Age movement in America, and now throughout the world, have announced publicly, so that there can be no doubt whatsoever in their writings, that their avowed desire is to oppose Christianity. That Christianity must be resisted. And that the God of the Bible is not the true and the living God. Now, that should begin to sober us a little bit when we realize how pervasive all of this is. Because this philosophy and this theology draws its power from another dimension. A dimension the Bible calls the realm of the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit who works in the children of disobedience. We were once in his dimension. Do you remember? We were once prisoners of the adversary. But Jesus Christ translated us from the authority of darkness into the kingdom. And we are now members of the body of Christ and constituted a kingdom of priests to serve God, his Father. That's our transformation. You've got to recognize the New Age movement for what it is. It is the ancient world of the occult coming back at us under new terms. Do not be upset that they steal our Christian symbols. They do. They have stolen the cross and used the cross in varying forms. They have stolen the rainbow and used the rainbow as a symbol of building a bridge between them and the rest of the world to unite and unify all mankind. Do not be upset by the fact that they mimic and imitate the church. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Instead, recognize it for what it is, a counterfeit of Christianity, a millennium without God, a kingdom without the King of Kings, a salvation without the sacrifice of the cross, a resurrection in the form of reincarnation, and an endless chain of saviors and avatars who arrive in the world with the purpose of bringing light to us. The Apostle Paul described them quite adequately in Colossians chapter 2. Let no one deceive you by a voluntary humility and the worship of messengers, avatars, the Hindu concept taken up by the New Age. Don't anybody deceive you, for these avatars are the representatives of Satan. Now, some people will be sitting here and saying, well, you seem to be blaming the devil for all this. No, but give him his due and give him credit when he is at the bottom of things. And he is not only at the bottom of the New Age movement, he is its architect. And he uses the people in it, many of whom are sincere, dedicated, and well-meaning, altruistic. But they are rebellious against the authority of God. They do not wish to acknowledge Christ and salvation. As a result of that, they turn to the New Age movement. People go into the cults because they have rejected the church. Remember that. People go into the cults because they have rejected the church. And the New Age movement is the classic rejection of Christianity. It is the age-old affirmation of Lucifer all over again. I will be like the Most High God. That is the same lie he told our first parents in the Garden of Eden, and the old liar is still up to it today, telling us the same thing. Don't you know, said the New Age people, if you want to really understand deity and the divine plan of the ages, that you must become aware of your Christhood, of your cosmic Christ consciousness within you. Don't look up there into a place called heaven, which is a myth. Instead, look inside yourself, for heaven or hell are there. And the peace that you will find is in you, not outside you. Now, I've given you the names of some of the New Age leaders. Let me give you some New Age groups so that you will be able to identify them as rapidly as possible. Theosophy, Baha'ism, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, the Unity School of Christianity, Religious Science or Science of Mind, Christian Science, New Thought, the Church Universal and Triumphant, Transcendental Meditation, the Divine Light Mission, the Vedanta Society, Self-Realization Fellowship, Rajneeshism, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Hare Krishna, the Family of Love, used to be the Children of God until they went down the tubes, EST, Scientology, Silver Mind Control, Foundation of Human Understanding, the Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, mark it well, the Lucis Trust, The Lucis Trust was originally titled in its incorporation the Lucifer Trust. It was then changed and published Alice Bailey's works, and she is the great guru of the New Age movement. The Findhorn Foundation, Rosicrucianism, Astara, Astrology, Wicca, White Witchcraft, the Tara Center, Spiritism, Life Spring Fellowship, Anthropocity, Human Potential Movement, Holistic Health Movement, all are spearheads to one degree or another of New Age thinking and philosophy. There are certain specific terms associated with the New Age. They're always talking about someone who is going to come and bring the whole world together. Not long ago, an ad appeared in 5 major centers in the world. The ad, which cost $500,000 in one newspaper in our country, headlined on the page, "The Christ is here. Lord Maitreya has appeared, and he will be coming shortly and will address the world, and he will arrive in London in the clouds of heaven." And the spokesman for this, the Tara Center, New Age Movement, the gentleman who spoke, Benjamin Krem. He held press conferences all over America. Television covered him. When will the Christ appear? He will appear and speak to the hearts of all mankind. Well, has he arrived yet? No, but he will arrive in London shortly in the clouds of heaven. Will he hold a press conference? He will reach all of the press and all of the people and the hearts of all men with the true religion of the world. Well, you're sitting here saying to yourself, this guy is a banana. He was. But the basic philosophy was New Age philosophy out in the open at last. Lord Maitreya is the 5th reincarnation of Buddha and known in all esoteric and in all occultic philosophy as the coming avatar who will bring the world together in a time of peace, prosperity, and happiness, which will precede divine judgment on an unprecedented scale. That's the part they don't tell you about. Because the coming of this Christ is actually the fulfillment of Holy Scripture. And that is that the man of sin who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God will sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem, and he will proclaim himself to be deity. And the whole world will go after and worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. The scripture says we are moving, we are accelerating toward this at an enormously rapid pace. Israel has been restored, and there is now the movement within Israel, among Orthodoxy, the cry for their temple. Watch for it. It will happen. There will be a temple in Jerusalem. They will reinstitute the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, and they will keep the Passover and all of their particular feast days in accordance with Mosaic law. And into that temple will come the Antichrist, who will deceive, if possible, all mankind with all power, signs, and lying miracles. That's what we're looking forward to. The coming, according to Paul, of this great figure of destruction. I don't care whether you're pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation or post-tribulation. It's all pure tribulation when you argue about it. But the Christian church for 19 centuries, Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox, 19 centuries, taught, and still does, that the Antichrist will enter the temple of God in Jerusalem before the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the church will anticipate persecution of unbelievable proportions. In fact, the Reformers, Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Knox, Melanchthon, our spiritual fathers, taught that the papacy was the Antichrist. And they could hardly have taught that the Pope was the Antichrist if the church was going to be raptured before he got there. We must face the fact that there is a real possibility that although we will be delivered from the wrath of God, because he has promised us that, there is no promise that we will escape persecution. Jesus said, in the world you will have persecution. You will have trial. Cheer up! I have already conquered it. We have a great enough Lord to take us up or to take us through. The important thing is not when he comes, but that he comes. And that we get ready and prime ourselves so that our Christian sensors are out there sensitive to the signs of the times. Because the scripture says, wherever the vultures circle, you will find the carcass. You know what Jesus meant by that? He meant, look at the circling signs. Because my coming is indicated by what you see. Look. And what I say unto you, I say unto everybody. Watch. Watch. And the great sign of the end of the ages is the multiplicity of false Christs and false prophets and false teachers who will spread false gospels. Jesus three times gave us the warning and reiterated it so that we would not forget it. Well, they're here. And the New Age movement is a New Age cult which imitates Christianity, imitates the vocabulary of the Bible, preys on our desire for peace, health, happiness, security, prosperity, in effect, a millennial kingdom, and offers us instead the prince of darkness, whom Paul says arrays himself so that he looks like an angel of light. Resist him, says the scripture, steadfast in the faith. I'd like to give you some of the key words that will help you, key terms, identify New Age thinking almost automatically. It's just as much a tracer as a radioactive isotope in your bloodstream. It's just as easily detectable. All you have to do is use your brains. These terms will tell you immediately what you are up against. Higher consciousness. Cosmic consciousness. Christ consciousness. Christ self. Christhood. Aquarian age. Planetary vision. New consciousness. Numerology. Reincarnation. Rebirth, not the biblical rebirth. Dying and being reborn in another body. Astral projection, the projection of your spirit nature in an out-of-body experience. Right into the New Age movement. Pyramidology, people who believe that the pyramid somehow has some key to power and the future and the interpretation of biblical prophecy. Horoscopes and charts connected with the stars and the future. Polarity, so that you may find your proper place in the balance of the divine and the human. Universal oneness. Avatars. Meditation. Karma, the law of action and reaction in reincarnation. The solar logos, the Father who symbolizes will. Love and wisdom, which symbolizes the Son. And active intelligence, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The Satanic Trinity. The depersonalization of God. Atlantis. Lemuria. Maitreya. Tarot. Seance. Spirit communication. Psychic healing. And you're saying, is his stomach upset? No. That is a Hindu chant. A mantra. A secret word. Given by the Indians and the gurus. And what do? You sit cross-legged in the lotus position, chanting, And what are you doing? You are raising the lotus serpent at the base of your spine, which will rise up through Kundalini and give you the revelation that you really need to know. You are God, dummy. This is the vocabulary that you run into in New Age seminars, New Age things, all over the United States. And you're sitting here laughing at it. You're laughing at it. Laugh on the other side of your face. It hits you and Vernon. You didn't even know it was here. How soon do you think it's going to take them to come in on lovely, hospitable people who don't know what's going on? Just as fast as possible. Under the guise of world peace, prosperity, humankind, one world, one planet, and happiness. And then finally, spiritual attunement. That means getting yourself tuned up to the fact that you're God. Esoteric, mysterious, secret, Eastern philosophical concept. Therapeutic touch, where they teach you how to harness the force. I'm not talking about Star Wars. Because Star Wars did have this occultism right in it. The force was there. It was all occultic nonsense. Yoda, the raising of the ship. The reason you couldn't do it, Luke Skywalker, is because you didn't think you could do it. Well, that reminds me of the story of the three men in hell. If everything depends upon thought, we're in trouble. The Protestant said, if I did what the minister told me to do, I wouldn't be here. The Catholic said, if I did what the priest told me to do, I wouldn't be here. And a Christian scientist sat in the corner and said, I'm not here, I'm not here, I'm not here. This is that he said, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Quoting Shakespeare, that great Elizabethan theologian. Think about that statement. Nothing is either good or bad. Thinking makes it so. So, if we kill 6 million Jews at Bergen-Belsen, Treblinka, Auschwitz, Dachau, Buchenwald, it's only the thinking about it being bad that makes it bad. Nothing is good or bad. Thinking makes it so. Well, it doesn't. You can sit and meditate on your navel from now till Buddha freezes over. And it's not going to do anything for you at all with God. Except perhaps give you a sore stomach and a stiff neck. Therapeutic touch. Where you're touched and healed by people who run their fingers over you and discharge the force into your body. Forces in balance. New world order. Iridology, palmistry, knowing your future. All of this, and I'm only scratching the surface, is part of the vocabulary, the terminology of the new world, of the new age cult. A glossary of occultic darkness. Remember it. When you hear it and when you see it, start asking the right questions. Now you're sitting here saying, what are the right questions? Here they are. What is the theology of the New Age movement? All right? The theology is quite involved, so I have given you a simple outline of it. Here it is. The New Age theology does not believe in the God of the Bible, but in God defined in many ways, but generally as an impersonal force pervading all creation. It is known in philosophy as pantheism, all as part of God. The material world itself is a lower form of the mind and must be dispensed with. The only true reality is the spiritual. And of course, you must attain that high degree of spirituality by recognizing the fact that you are deity. And the moment you recognize your Christ consciousness, you can pick up the threads of your karma and find out where you were in your past reincarnational life, and then you can correct the mistakes you made there and go on to live a perfect life here. The God of the New Age movement is not the God of the Bible, and you are dealing with all kinds of philosophy and theology, but all of it is removed from biblical revelation. An impersonal divine mind or cosmic consciousness in which we are all eventually to be absorbed. Secondly, New Age movement teaches the divinity of man. Mankind is divine because mankind is already part of God. Thirdly, God is immanent in all creation. They do not know anything about God transcendent as creator, sovereign, Lord. They only know about this unknowable thing and a whole chain of avatars or messengers who bring knowledge of it to us. The immanence of God without the transcendence of God. Again, this is very important. Relative to Jesus Christ, the New Age movement separates Jesus from Christ. Jesus is the avatar and the messenger, and Christ is the cosmic consciousness, which is the true divinity of all mankind. Jesus and Christ. Let's pause for just a moment and answer these things from the scripture. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 answers point number one. Moses said to God, "Whom shall I say has sent me unto you?" And God answered Moses out of the burning bush and said, "I," first person singular, "am," verb to be, a reflective, cognizant, ego, personality, I am. Pussycats and doggies, crocodiles and dolphins do not say, "I am." A reflective, cognizant ego, mind, says, "I am." The God of the Bible is a person. He tells us in the book of Isaiah, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." So God is a person, and in the divine context, thinks. He is not an impersonal force. Secondly, man is not divine. Genesis chapter 1 says we are created in the image and likeness of God, but Genesis chapter 3 says we blew it. And the image is scarred, marred, battered, and crushed. But it still exists. And God appeals to that through the gospel of Jesus Christ by common grace. For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all mankind, teaching us to abandon worldly lusts and to look for that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, the divinity of man disappears. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. In Psalm 82, God says, "You're not gods, you're men. And you're going to die like men." Scripture says, Book of Hebrews, "It is given to all men first to die, after that judgment. So we are talking about man as a fallen creature. New Age movement says no, man is not a fallen creature, man is divine. The immanence of God is all throughout Scripture. That the supreme evidence of the immanence and the transcendence of God is in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Transcendent. Transcendent means beyond. Beyond us. John 1:1, God transcendent. John 1:14, God immanent. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. New Age movement tells us that you may separate Jesus and Christ. The Bible says, this is the doctrine of the prince of darkness. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And learn what God has to say about the New Age movement in a hurry. God tells us that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He goes on to tell us something else that we dare not ever forget. He reminds us that the doctrine of the Antichrist is he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He has neither the Father nor the Son. Little children, it's the last time, verse 18. You have heard that the Antichrist will come. Even now there are many Antichrists. We know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us. They left us that it may be made clear or obvious they are not all of us. Now look at verse 22. Who is the liar? But he that denies Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. There's your doctrine of the Antichrist. You separate Jesus from the word Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Cross-reference, write it down, Matthew 16, 18. Peter responded to Jesus' question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not told you this, but my Father, which is in heaven. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. You're not the Christ. You're not all little Christs. I am the Christ. The word Christ, or Christos, is a transliteration of the Hebrew Mashiach, the anointed one. You cannot separate Jesus from Christ because Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the doctrine of the New Age movement here is branded by John as the doctrine of the Antichrist. Theology of the New Age movement says that man is essentially good and that he is evolving to full divinity. What does God say? Prophet Jeremiah reminds us, the heart of man is deceitful above everything and incurably sick. Who can understand it? It wasn't God that created Dachau, Auschwitz, Belsen, and Buchenwald. It was the heart of man. That's how sick it is. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Read the first chapter of Romans if you have any illusions about the nature of man. He is not essentially good. He is a fallen creature, desperately in need of the new birth. The New Age movement denies sin as rebellion against the law of the eternal God. It wants nothing to do with monotheism or the God of creation who gave us the law. It does away with him, with his law, and teaches that you do what is right in your own eyes. And if you do wrong, you will make up for it in your next reincarnation. The Bible answers that categorically. Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus Christ by himself purged us of our sins and sat down at the right hand of God. Therefore, you are not going to improve upon the Lord Jesus, and you are not going to pay for your own sins, because Jesus paid it all. The old hymn is right. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The end of reincarnation is resurrection. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. I will raise you at the last day. There will be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. And Christ said, I will do it. For the hour will come when you will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those that hear will live. So it's pretty obvious that the New Age movement, its basic theology, denies the law of God as the standard of righteousness. Whereas the epistle to Galatians and the entire epistle to the Romans tells us that the law is holy, righteous, just, and good. That sin is transgression of the law, and that all unrighteousness is sin. New Age movement wants nothing to do with an absolute standard of righteousness. It is a relativistic theology. It has no absolute authority except you. New Age movement believes in karma and reincarnation. You pay for what you do yourself. No, says the Bible. If you come to Calvary, Jesus takes care of it for you. He bore in his own body our sins on the tree. He entered once into the holiest of all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There is no reincarnation. First death, then the judgment. The New Age movement believes in multiple saviors. Buddha, Mohammed, Zoroaster. It is just as the Baha'i faith presents it. They have 9 saviors of the world. The New Age movement, which Baha'i is a member of, believes in multiple messengers and avatars and gurus. That's why Maharishi Mahesh Yoga thinks that he's a god. He's a guru. That's why Bhagwan Rajneesh thinks that he's a god. That's why all the Hindus think they're gods, the gurus, because they are messengers from this unknowable being. No, there's only one messenger. At the end of the ages, God appeared in his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to himself by the sacrifice of the cross. The New Age movement teaches that there is a physical and spiritual evolution. Physical, they accept the evolutionary hypotheses. And spiritual, in that they believe man is evolving to eventual perfection of Godhood. New World religion teaches salvation by works and by reincarnation. The Bible teaches by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not by yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. The New Age movement teaches one world, and all can reach God by many ways. No? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved, Jesus Christ. Some people say it's very narrow. No, it isn't. It's very godlike. It's God's creation. It's God's universe. And you are sitting here tonight, by his grace, breathing his air. You are perched precariously on a semi-burned-out cinder with a hot core of nickel, 93 million miles from a large solar furnace, held in place by a force known as gravity that nobody understands and can guarantee will be here in the next microsecond. You are spinning at a speed of approximately 25,000 miles per hour in space. Now how secure do you feel? As a Christian, I feel very secure because the scripture says, my Father is answering the phone in heaven. It is not off the hook. And when we sang before, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You better believe it, baby. That's the only reason you can face tomorrow, because he lives. And so the universe is held together not by some esoteric avatars, The universe is held together by the God of the galaxies, the creator of all things, and the one of whom the scripture says, he entered the world in the form of man. For by him were all things created. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him, Jesus Christ, is life. And the life is the light of men. The light goes on shining in the darkness of the New Age movement, and they cannot understand it. But it is still the truth. Now, as you sit here, as we discuss this, it's obvious the New Age movement is universalistic. Everybody's going to get there by their own particular way or avatar or savior. They have abandoned biblical theology, the God of the Bible. They hate monotheism, and they love esoteric philosophy. Therefore, what is the real danger of this on the practical level? One, it can neutralize your faith. Because if you start playing with the tools of the occult and the New Age movement, then you open yourself to the power that runs it, that organizes it, sustains it, and operates through it. You leave yourself open to the Prince of Darkness. Therefore, you don't touch these things, says God, because if you touch these things, you are following in the pathway of the nations that preceded Israel in Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 18. For they listened to the New Agers of their day, the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, the practitioners of the demon gods of Canaan. And the Lord said, for this reason, I destroy them before you, and I'll destroy you too if you follow in their pathway. So we dare not walk in the world of the occult. One, it can neutralize your life and your testimony if you're a Christian. Two, it can lay you open to satanic attack, to oppression, and to all forms of evil. Because if you yield yourself the servant of sin, its servant you are. Sin that ends in death, or if you yield yourself to Christ, righteousness that ends in life. Thirdly, the danger of the New Age movement and the occult is what it has always been. That you turn the handle on the unopened door of another dimension. And what comes through that is satanic power of enormous proportion. What I'm about to tell you took place in Van Nuys, California, at the First Baptist Church, in front of more than 40 witnesses. There can be no doubt whatsoever it occurred, and I myself was one of those witnesses. A young lady who was into the heart of the New Age movement had been associated with half a dozen or more of the organizational ideas and concepts and thoughts that I read off to you tonight. Came to the First Baptist Church right after I had conducted a series of lectures on the cults and the occult. She was an Indian girl, and she came in, wandered in a deranged state, and said to the pastors, help me. Help me. They won't leave me alone. And the pastors thought she was mentally ill. She wasn't. She was demoniacally possessed. And I received a telephone call at my motel, 75 miles away, and they said, you've got to get back here quick. And I said, sorry about that. I'm tied up, appointments, meetings, and I'm exhausted. I'm trying to rest. You got to help us. What's the matter? You don't believe what's going on here. I said, no, you haven't told me. They said, there's an Indian girl upstairs, and four of the pastors are conducting an exorcism, and they don't know what they're doing. I said, they do need help right away. She said, I'm going to switch you to the third floor of that building, and you can talk to the pastors. They've been trying to get you all day. Well, she switched me in the switchboard to that education building in the First Baptist Church of Van Nuys. When the phone came off the hook, I thought I had entered a lunatic asylum. You have never heard such screeches and howls and roars and yelling and cursing and languages, different languages, flowing over a telephone line in your life all at once. And this voice came on the phone, a male voice, obviously shaken. And he said, Dr. Martin? I said, yes. He said, I want you to listen to this. And he held the phone out. I heard it. He said, we've got an Indian girl here. Would you believe it? There's 40 of us here. And we're not saying anything. I said, you're not saying anything? They said, no. All the noise you hear is coming from her. And it sounded like a football stadium. It was a madhouse. And I said, you have a problem. They said, what do we do with it? For 4 hours, I conducted an exorcism. Telephone calls. They'd run in the room and talk to the demons. Then they'd run back and tell me what the demons said. Then they'd run back in the room and talk to the demons again. Now, this may sound like a loony bin to you, but it was very real to those men, Christian gospel preachers. And this girl turned out to have 100 devils in her. And I said, get somebody with a tape recorder and get this down because nobody will believe it. And ask the demons in the name of Jesus Christ, command them to identify themselves, every single one of them. They got their names. Some of the names were very interesting. They were the names and the terms of the world of the occult because she had been into all of these movements. And she was spewing out the names of demons associated with those movements. They were all listed. It sounded like a list of stuff I read tonight. Scary. 4 hours later, the Holy Spirit cast the last demons in the name of Jesus out of that girl. And they called me back and said, it's over. They're gone. Praise the Lord. I said, yes, praise the Lord. And then the voice said, she wants to talk to you. I said, okay. And this girl's voice came on the phone. She said, I have been possessed for the last few years. I could not help myself, and I didn't know where to turn. I kept going to these cults and these occultic groups, and each time there would be more devils instead of less. She said, finally, I came here. She said, Dr. Martin, I want to thank you for hanging in there on the telephone and instructing the ministers. And I want to praise and thank God that I have just received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And she said, I want you to know I'm free. They're gone. And I love Jesus. Thank God he set me free. The terrible danger of the occult is that people expose themselves to it and their children to it and don't even know it. And then when change comes and satanic power is unleashed, they're totally unprepared to deal with it. It is my hope and my prayer that as you think of the New Age movement and the people who are trapped in it, think of them not as enemies, but love them for the sake of Calvary. Love them enough to learn the difference between them and us. Love them enough to test them by the scriptures and hold fast to what is good. Love them enough to resist Satan on their behalf. Love them enough to pray with them and for them. Love them enough to stand up to them and tell them the truth. Love them for Christ's sake. And as the scripture instructed us before we began, and with which I close, study. Show thyself approved by God, a workman who need not to blush with embarrassment, rightly interpreting the word of truth. Don't play host to the kingdom of the cults and the occult. Don't open your doors, your churches, your friendship, your homes, your children, to this new, increasing form of great spiritual darkness. Instead, in the words of the Apostle Paul, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit, and kneel before your bed with your Bible, and cry out to him. Come in the wind. Come in the fire. Come in the earthquake, or in the sound of stillness. Come as you will, O Spirit of God. Only come, come, come. And if the church will cry to the Spirit, if the church will seek the power of Christ, if the church will dig into the mine of the Word, if the church will discipline herself and bow before him, God will equip the church. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Have your feet shod with the readiness to preach the gospel. Take the shield of faith. Jesus is Lord. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And having done all of this, therefore, stand praying always in the Spirit. And if you do, God has promised to us that we shall be more than conquerors through him that loveth us. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? In the words of Moses, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. He that has ears to hear, let him hear the word of the Lord. Amen.